Hey, and welcome to the Mickey and Minutes Podcast, the short Disney show.
Quick conversations, information, and inspiration.
I'm your host, Nick Lazaga.
And I'm Andy Goots.
Let's go!
Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
Nick, hey, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man, we are back. This is episode two of, I guess we can call it Mickey and Minutes 2.0. How you been, man?
Great. How's the break?
It was awesome. We're recording this after Christmas. It's January right now. Mm-hmm. So we had Christmas, we had New Year's, all the stuff. I haven't seen you since what, like right before Christmas?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That week before Christmas, we hung out. We did a Lorcana game night, right?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Lorcana, I pulled my very first enchanted card, Namari. Ooh. From Rise of the Floodborn. For those of y'all who are listening who are not familiar with Lorcana, it is Disney's latest and greatest trading card game that Nick and I will get more in depth on in a later pod.
Absolutely. So not Disney, not Christmas, not New Year's, but the highlight of your break was pulling your first enchanted card.
I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not. The excitement that I had when I pulled this enchanted card,
you guys
exceeded most events. Yeah.
You guys have to know, he has been trying for one for a long time. I pulled my first enchanted card in
third
like
pack
my third
so
booster pack ever.
the odds of pulling an enchanted card are 1 in 96 booster packs.
Woo.
Well, so we got like a 1 in 100 chance that you're gonna pull one.
We have Into the Inklands coming out next month, so it all starts over again. That's chapter 3 of Lorcana.
Yeah, just more and more cards to buy and more chances to pull an enchanted or not and be disappointed.
Yes. But this is not the Lorcana episode.
It is not.
This is the trip report episode. Andrew, you just got back from a trip.
Yeah, we did. Me and my family. And this was the biggest Disney trip my family has ever done. It was myself, my wife, our daughter, my brother, my sister-in-law, their daughter, and of course, my parents, the grandparents. So a massive family Goots vacation to Disney World in Orlando. It was really fun, man, but it was a very different Disney trip.
All right, so we're going to break down this trip. I also have a trip coming up. Mine's in February, the beginning of February. So we're going to talk about Andrew's trip, how it went, how his planning was, all that stuff. We'll talk a little bit about how my planning is going because I am less than 30 days away.
Yeah, we'll do some do's and don'ts, some tips, some best practices.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's dive right in, shall we?
Let's do it, man.
How was it? Just overall feelings of it really quick.
Overall, it was amazing. It was very, very crowded. We did go the day after Christmas, and we came back New Year's Eve.
So 26th you left.
26th we left, spent 4 full days at the parks. And I will say, I think just the theme of this trip, because of the girls, princesses.
Princesses
won this trip.
So just for everyone listening, the age of the children, that matters a lot.
Yes, huge. And that's also kind of the biggest reason why the trip was so different. My daughter and my brother's daughter are both under 3 years old. My daughter's 2.5. My niece is 1.5. So
free under 3.
Free under 3. And honestly, probably the biggest incentive and reason that we went right now, because this is the last time we'll be able to pull this off, at least for both kids.
Yeah. All right. So where did you guys stay?
So we stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is one of the more premier resorts on Disney property. And it was awesome. They have an extended savanna, like a mini Kilimanjaro safari that you can walk through for the guests. Just a casual walking savanna with giraffes and okapi and a lot of the animals they have in Animal Kingdom proper. And what's really cool about Animal Kingdom Lodge is that there's even some hotel rooms where their balconies directly face the savannah. We were not privileged enough to have one of those because they were sold out, obviously. But it is an option, and it was really cool. Also, and there were so many events for kids. It was still Christmas season, so they had ostrich egg ornament decorating.
Did you do that?
No, we didn't. We didn't have time. And I guess that kind of gets into my next point that we want to make about just resorts. Picking a resort. Nick, how do you go about picking y'all's resorts when you go?
Well, you know, obviously a lot of it is budget, right? So how much are you willing to spend? You have value resorts, you have moderate resorts, you have deluxe resorts. And some of those deluxe resorts can be outrageously expensive.
Outrageous, yeah.
So for my trip coming up in February, we decided to stay at Pop Century. And part of the reason for that is that we're not planning on spending a lot of time in the hotel. We really just need a place to sleep. We're going to be in the parks all day, rope drop to close. And the other reason we picked Pop Century is Skyliner.
Yes.
We love the Skyliner.
Huge.
You can take the Skyliner straight from Pop to Epcot or to Hollywood Studios. There's a little point in the middle where you have to switch gondolas, but it's extremely convenient. So we pick our resort really based on convenience, money, and how much time we're going to spend there.
And so, and that's a huge point to make. So I need to say that, yes, we did stay at a premier resort. It was awesome. But kind of like when you asked, like, did you do the ostrich egg decorating and all that? We didn't. We did not have time. At Disney World, time is money.
Absolutely.
And so I guess the point that I want to make is, if you were going to spend a long time at Disney World where you can take your time, where you can even afford to spend just a day at the resort and not even go to the parks, then yes, worth it. It's going to have restaurants, nicer restaurants, bars, better buffets, more amenities, things like animals in the back, right? But we didn't enjoy any of that because it was go, go, go. We had 4 full days at the park, 1 day, 1 park, what have you. And like I said, we weren't able to enjoy it.
I will tell you, to your point, when we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge, maybe 2017, I think it was, 2018 maybe, we did a split stay. We did the first few nights of the trip, we stayed at a moderate resort. We stayed at Riverside. And then for the last maybe 2 nights, we moved to Animal Kingdom Lodge because the last day, our departure day, we had a very late flight scheduled. So we planned on having a full resort day. And we did. We ate at Sanaa.
There you go.
One of the restaurants there. It was amazing. We hung around. We did the safari. So we made sure that since we were going to take some time to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, that we were going to do it.
Yeah. So when you're planning your trip, think about those things, right? Do you have time to spend at just the resort, hanging out and doing things there? If you really want to be at the parks, take those things into consideration when you're deciding on when and where to choose your resort. But I will say, in general, staying on Disney property is always worth it. It you do get the extra magic, not just the extra magic hours for 30 minutes before or after the park closes for normal guests, but just, you know, the ambiance, the energy of being on a Disney resort, it carries through after you leave the park, which adds extra fun.
Absolutely. That 30 minutes before the park opens, that's for any guest staying on Disney property. The time after park closes is only for deluxe guests.
And it does help having, especially in the mornings, that 30 minutes before the park opens, because
that's the most valuable time, dude.
It is the most valuable time. There's already a line just to get into the parks in general. So if you miss that window, you have to wait in line just to get into the parks with general admission with everybody else, versus being able to sneak on in, get early entry, ride a ride, and avoid the massive general admission, any of those lines.
So speaking of parks, did you buy a park hopper?
We bought park hoppers and did not use them once.
Oof.
I know.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. That big hurts. Oof. Big oof.
I'll tell you, that was a big point when my wife and I have been planning this next trip. So we always get park hoppers.
Yeah.
And there's only been one trip that we haven't used the park hopper, and it was just a weekend getaway. We were only there for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
This next trip, we have 4.5 days for our trip. We have 4 full park days. And then we have such a late flight on our departure day that we decided to go to Animal Kingdom that day, since that park opens earlier and closes earlier, and we can get everything in. Plus, Dinosaur is going away, so we wanted to say goodbye to Dinoland and all that stuff. But when planning this trip, we decided to not go for a park hopper.
Ooh.
So we decided not to buy one because of that Animal Kingdom morning. Because our big thing was, well, we want to pop to Animal Kingdom, but we don't want to spend a lot of time over there.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the main thing. And we were like, well, we're not going to buy a park hopper just to go to one park. So, but there, you know, there's upsides and downsides to park hopping. For example, if a ride goes down and you don't get to do it that day, the park hopper gives you the opportunity to do it on a different day. So you have to weigh all those options.
And I will say, in our situation, again, we had 2 small children. We had a tight schedule. In reality, 1 day per park, you need a full day for, I mean, sometimes multiple days. For Magic Kingdom, you can't do Magic Kingdom in 1 day. Can't do that. So already, if you're on a tight schedule, you can really only afford to do 1 day per park. it doesn't really make sense to do park hopper.
Yeah. And if you are, you know, not getting a park hopper, you're going to want to maximize your time in the park. So, Andrew, did you guys get Genie Plus? And did you buy any lightning lanes?
Oh, yeah. We did Genie Plus and we bought every lightning lane.
All right. Let's talk about that. I have a couple questions that I've been dying to talk about with you, Andrew.
Give it to me.
What'd you think of Guardians?
Oh, boy.
This was his first time riding Guardians, ladies and gentlemen.
So let's clump these two together because I think it's they both can be Guardians and Tron. Guardians and Tron were two lightning lanes that we obviously purchased. So we were able to ride them immediately, schedule the time that we wanted to ride them when it was most convenient for us and in our agendas. Tron and Guardians, specifically Guardians, rocked my world. So it was outstanding.
Yeah, Guardians and Tron are both tied for second place for fastest ride in Disney World.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
They both get up to 60 miles per hour. Do you know the fastest ride in Disney World is, Andrew?
Is it Rock and Roller Coaster?
No. That's also actually tied. They all go 60. That's another one that's tied for second place.
Is it the drop of Tower of Terror?
No.
Okay, what is it?
It's Test Track.
Oh.
Test Track goes 65 miles per hour.
Okay. That's right. I'll be real. I've not ridden Test Track in a while. Test Track is not one of my faves.
You should have ridden it. It's going to change. It's going down and it's going to go through a big refurbishment soon. They're changing it to be more inspired by World of Motion, the original ride that was there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember hearing that. But again, between Tron and Guardians, I no longer have any desire to ride Space Mountain. I know that's so blasphemous.
I don't know about that.
Space Mountain is
classic nostalgia.
Right. It's, yes. For nostalgia purposes, I will ride Space Mountain. But I mean, both of these rides combined were just
incredible.
A better Space Mountain.
I think Guardians is probably my favorite ride at Disney World right now. Barring any classics, you know, obviously Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion are up there. My favorite ride of all time is, you know, it went away, Splash Mountain, RIP. But so when you ride Guardians, you kind of get a random song, right? You could either get Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Conga, I Ran, Disco Inferno, One Way or Another, September. What song did you get?
We got I Ran, and so I ran.
Flock of Seagulls.
So far away. I'll be real. I was a little disappointed because it's not as just like a rocking song. You know, it just doesn't have as much of just like a, oh, hell yeah, kind of beat to it. It was great, but September would have been iconic.
So that's like the most sought after song. I've ridden Guardians three times in my life.
Three times?
I rode it three times. So the very first time I ever rode it, I got September. And it was incredible.
Rad.
The second time I rode it, I got my favorite one, which is Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
That'd be a good one too. And it fits the theme of the ride as well.
Yeah, exactly. It was incredible. And the third time I rode it, I got One Way or Another by Blondie. So
you're just missing one?
I'm missing Conga and Disco Inferno. And I ran so far away. I'm missing three.
Okay. Yeah. So three. That's cool, man. I wanted to ride it a second time so bad. But just wasn't in the cards. Too tight of an agenda.
Yeah. And Tron, you like Tron?
Tron was sweet. It's funny just how Tron wasn't that great of a movie. the original one and even the Disney reboot or sequel.
I saw the reboot again recently, right before my last trip, and I was like, okay, it's fine.
The ride was sensational. And just so
that launch.
So I think we can tell them just the cart style. Nick, can you tell us how are you riding in this ride? What makes it so different?
You are literally on a light cycle. There's no way around that. So you mount it like a bike, you straddle
like
it
a
like
motorcycle.
A bike. Yeah. You lean forward. Yeah, exactly. Like a motorcycle. It's kind of like think Avatar, Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage.
It's basically like that.
A roller coaster.
Yeah, you have a guard that goes over your back and kind of keeps you in position there. Were you in the front row or did you?
We actually got the very back. We got the back row for Tron and we got the very front row for Guardians. And getting the very front row for Guardians made the experience so much better.
I don't want to spoil how Guardians
can't,
works.
Can't spoil
if you
it.
Don't
can't
know.
Spoil it.
But
yeah,
it's incredible. So I rode Tron three times also. And I rode Tron the first time I rode it, I was front row, absolutely front row.
See, that would
which
be
makes
sick.
The yeah, it makes the launch incredible. I also rode it in the back another time, And then,
which makes the speed better, because for the physics, yeah, sitting in the back, you stay fast. Yeah, you got a little bit.
I think I rode the front twice actually, and then the back one time. So, and did you ride at night or during the day?
It was during the day, so we didn't get to see as much of the cool blue lights and that kind of stuff. But
that's the reason we ended up riding three times, was because we had to get that nighttime.
You have to.
So we ended up hopping over to Magic Kingdom in the evening because we booked like one of the last lightning lanes of the night. And we actually, our launch happened during fireworks.
Oh, that's cool. It was awesome.
It was insane.
Yeah, but so similar to Guardians, what's really neat about Tron and arguably the best part of the new Disney Tron reboot is that Daft Punk did most of the soundtrack. Yep. And so when you're riding the ride, it's Daft Punk Tron music blasting in the background, which that adds a sick beat, especially just with the vibe of Tron and being in the game. Ooh, one thing I want to comment about on Tron and just the design of Tron. It's not necessarily about the ride, so it's not a huge spoiler, but Tron provides lockers that you can put all of your stuff in before you ride the ride. And this is a super seamless experience where, you know, you scan your ticket, that's what locks it. But what's even cooler is when you leave the ride, you retrieve your stuff from the locker
on the other side.
I was blown away by that stupid detail. But I do need to bring up, on the topic of Genie Plus, I do need to bring up one thing.
Okay.
It is expensive and it does add up a lot.
Yeah, I was keeping up with the parks while you were there.
Partially
because I knew you were there, and also just, of course, I do that anyways.
And but I was pinging you questions constantly.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. So I was noticing the Genie Plus prices peaked the highest they've ever been.
Really?
While you were there.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay.
It's crazy. They fluctuate based on the day and the time of year it is. Obviously, you went the week after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's.
It's going to be huge.
As peak season as you can possibly get.
Definitely.
So how were the crowds? Because I was watching it.
Oof.
It was like, according to like crowd calendars that I follow on Touring Plans, I'm pretty sure every day was like a 10.
It was bonkers. Oh, yeah. It was a lot. And especially trying to wrangle a two-year-old who doesn't want to sit in her stroller at a time when the crowds were just that jam-packed. Even getting Genie Plus, everything was sold out so quickly because everybody was booking constantly. But with Genie Plus and Lightning Lane, we were able to maneuver the parks on a pretty decent basis. But a huge disappointment was Disney Springs, my man. Disney Springs was unbearable. It was a mistake to even go to Disney Springs. So there's a giant, like Walmart sized Disney store inside of Disney Springs, and it's called World of Disney.
Biggest Disney merchandise location, I'm pretty sure, in the world, at least.
Really?
The US.
Just at the Orlando location?
Yep.
Yeah, it's massive. And what's really sweet is, and Nick, I mean, we got this advice from you, most of our Disney trips, we would save the majority of our merchandise purchasing at the very end of our trip. That way we don't have to spend any of our time in the parks looking for, because most of the merch that they sell in the parks, within reason, they're going to sell at Disney Springs.
Unless you're looking for very niche, like specific like a lightsaber merch, like Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So World of Disney, they shut down every single door to get in except for the back entrance. And there was a 15-minute wait just to get in to World of Disney from the back entrance. And then when you were inside, it was shoulder to shoulder. You couldn't even browse at your own pace because everyone just felt like they were rushing you. It was bonkers, man.
But worth the wait, because that's where you got your pull, your Lorcana pull.
It was. They had Lorcana, a limit of 5 booster packs per person, but you had to actually go to the counter to purchase them. And so, yeah, I bought my 5 booster packs. And yes, that was indeed, I did pull my enchanted Namari.
That's crazy. All right. So anything else stood out to you in the parks?
So we did the Harmony Barbershop experience too, where both my daughter and my niece got their first haircuts on Main Street USA in Magic Kingdom.
You got the Mickey ears with their name on it.
Yeah. And it says my first haircut. They put pixie dust on their hair, so it sparkles all day. They know what they're doing. As soon as they sit down, they give them a flashy toy that spins to play with, so they're already distracted and not worried about getting their hair cut. The women that did it were so nice. And the biggest thing is Harmony Barbershop is tucked in a very inconspicuous corner next to the fire station on Main Street, USA, where you wouldn't even know it's there if you weren't looking for it.
It's easy to miss. You got to look for that pole with the stripes.
Yeah. And as soon as I even said that to myself, I were trying to find it. I figured, I bet you it's going to have some sort of stripey pole, but there it was. And we walked right in. So it's also very inexpensive. It was only $30 for my daughter to get her first haircut. And, you know, compared to everything else at Disney World, that was an absolute steal. It was very quick. It was really, really fun. My daughter absolutely loved it. It was a nice moment and something that I never thought we would do, or I didn't even know it existed until my brother brought it up to me because he saw it on Instagram. But if you're looking to get that kind of experience and, you know, your kids in that first haircut age, it's definitely worth it.
That's awesome.
But taking things back a little bit, Disney princesses.
Yes. Who's your daughter's favorite princess?
Big question. That's a big question. At the moment, it's all Rapunzel. Tangled is everything in
Rats.
Our home. So it was pretty sweet. My daughter was wearing a Rapunzel dress, holding a Rapunzel Barbie whilst meeting Rapunzel. Ooh. And it
at
was
Princess Fairy Tale Hall.
Yeah, it was it. Exactly. Right next, yep. Right across from PhilharMagic right there.
And you used the lightning lane for that?
Yes, we did use lightning lanes for that because, I mean, it was a 45-minute, hour-and-a-half wait without it. Because Disney princesses were such a priority on this vacation, I have just the most critique on them. And Disney princesses, not all princesses are equal in terms of your experience with them. And we learned, too, what makes a good Disney princess and what makes a not-so-good Disney princess.
The littles won't notice the things that you notice about them. I'm sure they'll still have a good time, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. The littles, of course, they are just infatuated with all of them. But as a parent, you pick up on little things too. Like, for example, Rapunzel and Merida and Ariel all addressed our kids by their first name and said their first name many times without us introducing them. Like, so our daughter's name is Josie. They heard us call our daughter Josie. And so then they started calling her Josie without even the proper introduction. And that is little things, little details that just really make the experience for the kids so much better.
Yeah. The cast members make the magic. And when you get a really good one, you know, you're never going to forget that.
No, not at all. Yeah. Especially too, you can also tell that certain Disney princesses go out of their way to make sure that every single conversation that they have with each child is completely unique, and they bring up different talking points about the relative movies that they're from with each kid, making it unique. And because we saw two different children being conversed with these princesses, we can really see just like what they do to make each experience, again, unique and magical for the kids. And we also did Cinderella's Royal Table. And Ooh. So, Nick, can you explain what that is to everybody who may not know?
Okay, so Cinderella's Royal Table, that's the restaurant in the castle, in the icon of all of Walt Disney World.
Eating inside of Cinderella's castle.
Which actually kind of brings me to my next question for you, Andrew. Dining, when you were planning your dining, 60 days in advance, that's when you could book your dining. This is one of the hottest.
At what time in the morning?
Oh, yeah, dude, at 6 a.m. Disney time?
6 a.m., 6 a.m. Disney time.
So we live in Texas, so there's a time difference. And then also, those windows actually open early, so we're talking like 4:30.
Yeah, it was like 15 and a half hour minutes early, and they don't tell you that. They tell you just 6 a.m. No. Disney time, but they open like 15
That's
half
a pro
an hour
tip,
sometimes.
Yeah. Start refreshing at, you know, at around 4:30 something. Cinderella's Royal Table, that's one of the hottest ones. I know you also got to know Ohana, which is another one of the really hot tickets there. So yes. Tell me about your experience booking dining. We were talking while you were doing that. Not while you were doing it, but right before. Mm-hmm. I wasn't talking to you at 4 a.m., but like the day before we were texting.
Getting priorities, yep. Really understanding like what the game. So again, if you're new to going to Disney World, book your dining. Disney has a lot of awesome dining experiences that are really fun and themed, but they're hot, and getting a reservation for them is sometimes almost impossible.
Difficult.
It's very, very difficult.
You got two of the biggest ones though, man.
Yeah. And I think the biggest reason that you kind of alluded to this was we were a party of eight, and they kind of have to make sure that they have big tables, small tables to accommodate everybody. So the fact that we were a large party, we probably only got the one reservation of eight for some of these resorts. So back to booking dining, if you're new to going to Disney World and it's something that you haven't done before, book dining and book it in advance. Again, like what Nick said, 60 days before your trip, you can book your dining at 6 a.m. Disney time and have your game plan. So my wife and I consulted with Nick and his wife before we made our dining reservations, because you need a priority. You need to prioritize what you're going to try to get first, what you're going to try to get second. What's your backup plan? If you don't get restaurant A, what is restaurant B? Decide on, you know, you'd want to do one sit-down restaurant every day, two sit-down restaurants every day, and also to plan your dining based off of what parks you're going to be at. So for example, Nick mentioned Ohana. Ohana is a family-style restaurant at the Polynesian that is right across from Magic Kingdom. So you're going to want to make sure you do Ohana on your Magic Kingdom day. It's the most convenient.
I will say it's also my favorite restaurant on property is Ohana.
It was pretty awesome.
You got pog juice. You got pog noodles. Juice,
wings, teriyaki beef, hot stickers,
yep.
Pog juice. And so pog juice is something that I am. Oh, I just love it so much. It's passion orange guava. Combination of those three juices. And it's really only found in Hawaii and you can't get it in mainland US. So the fact that the Polynesian has it and there's some places in the parks that you can get it at, like you can get pog gelato in Hollywood Studios, and it blew my mind. I convinced the three people in front of me to get pog gelato because they weren't getting it. I was like, you're missing out. You can't get this anywhere else.
That's
like,
one thing I have not tried yet, and that's on my list for my trip.
The first picture I took that I sent to Nick was me eating the pog gelato. And I'm so
that
happy.
Is true. Yep.
So our prioritized restaurants, so Cinderella's Royal Table, huge. Ohana, huge. One that goes unnoticed or overlooked, Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios, and their freaking awesome chop salad, or their what it's
the Cobb salad.
The Cobb salad. But it's overlooked. It's got a great vibe. It's got awesome food. It's a great, you know, middle of the day, you need to take a break, want to sit down, have an awesome meal. Brown Derby is great. And then I think Teppan Ito Hibachi, Benihana style at Tokyo in Epcot was really fun too. Now those were our biggies for dining.
Oh yeah, those are fantastic. I think I've done all of those pretty recently as well. Great experiences, great food. Did you like the food at Cinderella?
The food. So what we did, we actually did the brunch, which was amazing. So I had steak and eggs and we had frittatas and they had a mimosa flight. And, you know, just finding alcohol in Magic Kingdom is not an easy task. So having that to start out the day.
Yeah, the only time you could have alcohol in Magic Kingdom is in a table service restaurant and you cannot take it out. That's the only park that you cannot walk around with alcohol.
Just now really realizing that.
So for my upcoming trip, as far as like dining and stuff that we booked.
What are your priorities?
We're actually taking a really different approach this trip because we've been pretty often in the last few years and we've done a lot of stuff recently. So our last trip, we did Ohana, we did a Space 220. So this trip, we're actually focusing more on counter service restaurants and we're going to be there during the Epcot Festival of the Arts. So we're going to be eating at festival booths and stuff.
There you go.
But we do have a couple dining reservations. We booked, let me see if I can say this right, Trattoria Al Forno. The Italian restaurant.
Trattoria Al Forno.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, it's great. The Italian at
the boardwalk.
Yep.
So that's going to be our arrival day. We booked that one. We also booked an Oga's Cantina because, Star Wars. You have to.
Yeah, it's great.
And we booked the 50s Primetime at Studios.
Ooh.
That's the restaurant where it's themed to like a family kitchen during the 50s. All the wait staff, they introduce themselves as cousin so-and-so or auntie so-and-so. And it's all like home cooking. You have like chicken pot pies.
Comfort food,
exactly.
Yeah.
They'll get on you for putting your elbows on the table. It's such a fun atmosphere. Love that place. And then as far as quick service, we're planning on going to some of our favorites. Casey's Corner at Magic Kingdom.
Casey's Corner, yeah.
Mini so corn dogs. Good. What? Yes. Sleepy Hollow refreshments at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There you can get a spicy chicken waffle sandwich.
Ooh.
And it's spectacular. We're also going to go to Columbia Harbor House. So that's a place where you can get lobster rolls.
Oh, at Magic Kingdom. Right. Yes. I saw those.
Yeah.
They look good.
Pro tip, Columbia Harbor House has a second floor for seating and it's never as packed because a lot of people don't go up there. And there's windows where you have a second floor view of Magic Kingdom.
Oh, nice.
There's a great spot where you could see the Haunted Mansion and Big Thunder out the windows. And
oh, that's cool. Incredible. So good nighttime vibe then.
Oh, yeah. It's spectacular. You can watch the trains go by on Big Thunder. We're also planning on eating at Ronto Roasters.
Ronto Roasters, the Ronto Wraps.
Ooh. Need that Ronto Wrap. Oh, yeah.
I think the Ronto Wrap is my favorite quick service Hollywood Studios. It's in Galaxy's Edge. And actually, Nick and his wife make homemade Ronto Roasters for me and my wife when we go over to their house for when they host. And I will say yours are better, but I mean, it's the way y'all do it, it's spot on. They taste the exact same.
I gotta say this because I know my wife's gonna listen. I don't cook. That's all her. You're trying to give me credit where I don't deserve any.
So. It's all her. It's all your wife. Yeah. No. Yeah. She makes amazing Ronto wraps, and they taste even better than the ones you get at Disney.
Well, we put them in tortillas. We're in San Antonio.
Yes, instead of pita bread, we put it in tortillas. Yeah. It's improved. It's the improved recipe.
It's the Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex Ronto.
Yeah, over at Epcot, we love to eat at Yorkshire Fish. That's the counter service location. You can get some fish and chips and some beer. But we have some ideas where if we don't get full on festival food while we're there, some easy reservations to get that you can get last minute.
Mm.
Nine Dragons.
Good call. Yeah.
Chinese restaurant.
Yep.
You could walk up there. So last time we were there, we had a reservation for Nine Dragons and we were running late. We were getting off an attraction. We walked over there. We're like, oh, we're so sorry. We're late. And the person at the restaurant, they actually said, don't worry about it. We can give you a table at any time. We're not busy.
Wow.
And this was during the summer.
I don't think I've ever been told that ever by anybody at Disney.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, a lot of people say Nine Dragons food isn't that great. But if you like, you know, your basic Chinese food, it's fine. It's good. You know, so, you know, we have our ideas just in case.
And it goes to show you could do Disney eating so many different ways, right? I mean, the quick service restaurants are viable. Pro tip on the quick service, use the app, order ahead of time. You can use the Disney app mobile order. If the restaurant quick service supports mobile order, it's so efficient. You just say you order it ahead of time. You say when you're on your way and it'll tell you when it's ready and you just go straight to the counter and pick it up. You can avoid the line and everything and you order on your time.
And the other pro tip is you don't have to eat chicken fingers and cheeseburgers all the time.
There's so many more options.
Also, great quick service place at Animal Kingdom. We like to go to Satuli Canteen. That's in Pandora. They have these cheeseburger pods. They're like bao buns filled with cheeseburger. And you have alien beer. It's green beer.
We got the green beer. We did get some green beer. And they've got cool green cocktails with like boba balls in them and stuff.
Where did you meet at Animal Kingdom?
So we went to Flame Tree Barbecue, which was also fantastic. And I will say at Flame Tree Barbecue, they have pulled pork macaroni and cheese. And my wife says that that was her absolute favorite meal of all of Disney World was the pulled pork macaroni and cheese at Flame Tree Barbecue. I just had the pulled pork sandwich and it was amazing. I didn't get the macaroni and cheese with it. It looked awesome. And then even my sister-in-law ordered half of a rotisserie chicken. Like this barbecue rotisserie chicken, it looked amazing. I honestly think just in terms of visually, that was the best looking food at any of the quick service restaurants I saw at Disney. Flame Tree Barbecue, you won't be let down.
I was at home and, you know, just my wife was cooking dinner and I get a text from Andrew and he's like, bro, Animal Kingdom, quick service, go. So I was like, Flame Tree Barbecue, Satuli Canteen.
Can't go wrong. And like again, didn't go to Satuli. The noodles look good, but we were just close to Flame Tree and it was right there and the line was short. So either one, though, are viable options.
Yeah. So was Festival of the Holidays still going on while you were there?
It was. Even though it was still holiday themed at Disney, just the holiday-ness was dying down a little bit just because we went right after Christmas. There was still Santa that came out in some of the areas in Epcot. Like there's French Santa in Paris. It wasn't as just prevalent as maybe it would have been or felt had it been prior to Christmas.
Yeah. All right. So to wrap this up, a couple of final questions, Andrew.
Yeah,
as far as planning, would you say that your planning was overall successful?
I think so. You know, just in general, if you're going to Disney, whether Disney, especially Disney World, whether it's just you and your significant other or a whole group of people, put the work into it. You won't go wrong. At Disney, time is money, and the last thing that you want to be doing is waiting in line, and there are ways to get around it. Yes, some of them cost money, but if you put the planning and work into it, your Disney experience will be great. The last thing that you want to do is just figure out what you want to do when you get there, and it's too late.
Always have a backup plan.
Also. And a backup plan, yeah.
Was there anything that you planned that did not go to plan at all?
Disney Springs, just how hectic it was.
Yep.
Did not anticipate just having a bad time a little bit at Disney Springs. It catered to a good time when I pulled my Enchanted card later on. But yep. really, other than that, it was all pretty smooth. The only ride that we didn't get to ride was that we had a Genie Plus Lightning Lane for was Tower of Terror. And because they only had one cart going, so the line was just exponentially longer, even for Lightning Lane. It was like an hour, which is not, again, time is money, not worth it. But for what the trip was for our kids and for the massive amount of people that were there at one time, everything went relatively smoothly. We were really happy.
Any pro tips for traveling with a large party? You were with eight people of all different age groups. How was that?
Pro tip, make sure that you cater to everybody. It is really easy and nice just to assign one person to be the camp counselor, to be in charge of booking the lightning lanes, buying things every morning and then reimbursing them. That was my job. I basically every morning bought all Genie Pluses, all the lightning lanes. I was the one every 2 hours checking my Disney app to make sure the scheduling was good to go for everybody. Yes, that does put a burden on one of your party members, but it makes everybody else a little bit, it makes their time a lot easier.
Yeah, I'd say another pro tip for traveling with a large party is you don't have to be together the entire time. It's okay to split
up,
right?
It is. Yes, it is.
So you guys split up a lot?
This particular trip, we didn't as much because the kids, we wanted to make sure that they did everything and
together.
Then together and their vibes were similar. But, there was a day where my dad just, he wasn't feeling very well and he was just tired from the park. So he just, he stayed back at the hotel and enjoyed the amenities there. And that was really nice for him. There were some times, too, when my brother and his family, they stayed back because they wanted to ride an extra ride. We wanted to go to Disney Springs, which was a mistake. So we went to Disney Springs, but what have you on a regular trip, that wouldn't have been an issue. And yes, it is. You can definitely allot time to just split up and do your own thing. Cause at Disney, there's so much to do. Everybody's going to want to enjoy things on their own time at some points.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome.
One last pro tip. If you're going with small children, you want to be at Epcot. Right next to Guardians of the Galaxy, there is an awesome just playground. And I honestly think it's really the only playground with just swing sets and Jungle Jimmy things to climb on in the middle of the park that we found in any of the parks. So great place to let off some steam.
Yeah. Also, at every World Showcase Pavilion, there's a little Epcot like Kids Corner.
Oh, yeah. Kid Cot, they called it.
Yeah, Kid Cot. That's what it is called. They have little activities, coloring sheets and stuff for the kids to do while the parents are getting their booze
shopping or getting their Helly Henson gear in Norway.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had an awesome trip, man.
It was epic, man. Every Disney trip is going to be epic.
That's awesome. Yep. And like I've been saying, I'll be going to Disney in February. So when we get
we'll do a similar breakdown.
Yeah, we'll do a trip report for me. I'll tell you about how mine went. It's looking pretty good. I will tell you, I found out that while I'm at Disney, the Pro Bowl, the NFL Pro Bowl is going to be in Orlando.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, we've been reading people like saying, oh, well, watch out for, more crowds than expected, this and that. But we use touring plans and they give projected crowd calendars.
Yeah.
So like my first Magic Kingdom day, that's the day of the Pro Bowl. It's only projected to be a 4 out of 10.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. Then my Epcot day is a 6. Hollywood Studio day is a 6. MK day number 2 is a 2. And my Animal Kingdom day, which is my departure day, is a 5. So even
not with the bad, Pro Bowl, man.
Yeah, and this, these numbers could change, but, don't let that kind of stuff scare you.
Yeah.
When you're planning your trip, there's never really like an off season anymore.
Perfect time to go.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. So just go. Go when it's right for you. And with Genie Plus, with all these other tools and tips that we gave you, you will have a great time. Even if nothing goes right, you're in Disney World.
You're in Disney World. There's worse places to be.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to have a great time. I hope that this podcast helped a little bit. I hope you enjoyed listening to stuff about Andrew's trip. And I hope that you got some pro tips that you can use when planning your next trip.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Thanks again for listening to the Mickey in Minutes podcast. If you liked it, subscribe and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at Mickey in Minutes. And check out mickeyinminutes.weebly.com for show notes and exclusive content.